We are excited to introduce to you Prophetic Edge, where we are going to be digging into the revelation of God's Word and what it looks like to walk in victory through the Word of God. Whenever God is ready to move in Scripture and bring victory to people, He always brings a fresh edge of revelation.
Apprehending the apostolic is one of the key mindsets, I believe, of the New Testament and the New Covenant. When God begins to move, He always uses certain phrases or words or ideas. Remember, the kingdom is built on principles. And so God does not just do something because it was in His mind. He does not just do it because it was a fleeting thought. But He is building a process that requires an understanding of His principle. So the apostolic is a principle in the mind of God. The apostolic reveals to us God's mindset. Now, when God set up the church, He set up the church in a five-fingered mind, or the idea of a hand. There is the apostle, who is like the thumb. He touches all the components of the hand. There is the prophet, who is like the pointer finger, pointing us forward, pointing out things we're missing, pointing out things we need to see, pointing out what God is manifesting that we might behold and agree. There is the pastor. The pastor, who is what? He is like that married finger. Ah, that finger on which you would put the ring. I know I skipped the middle finger. I'm coming back to that. That marriage finger, that finger of covenant, that finger that means we are together forever. That represents the pastor. The little finger always speaks of who? The teacher. The wet little finger that can dig into your ear and get out the wax so that you can hear better. The teacher represents that which digs into unseen possibilities and truths that we might hear what God is saying even better. So the evangelist represents that middle finger. Why? He represents that finger that goes out longest from the hand. So the evangelist stretches out from the church into the world and calls us back into the things of God, relationship. So we have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, the five-fingered hand of God. Understanding God's mind gives you permission to partner with God's motives. When God then set up the church, He said He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the church, for the maturing of the saints, for the unity of the body. There is a threefold calling that all ministry has to participate in. The perfecting of the saints. We are called by God, if you are in any kind of leadership position, but especially in this fivefold nature of God, your first calling is for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? It means to bring us all into a level of maturity, to get us out of childishness, to stop us from arguing and complaining and gossiping and lying and falling apart, to get us past simple division. Do you know that the sign of immaturity is simple division? So many times when you look around the church in Western culture, it is true and revealed and seen beyond all question and beyond any argument that we are not mature. When we divide about politics, when we divide about color, when we divide about economics or culture, we are immature to the core. The very idea of division is the sign that you are not stable in your mind. What the nature of the fivefold is supposed to do is not simply to make the church grow, to have big churches, big buildings, big gatherings, but that by the revelation of Christ seen through this five-natured leadership team, we would discover our need for each other. We would walk in purity together, and we would die to the whims and the wishes of men's simple, lustful needs. Have we become one? If we have not become one, then the job of fivefold is not done. What is the essence of this fivefold? Not only to bring us into maturity, but for the edifying of the saints. What does that mean? It means to make us stronger. Are you strong in your faith? Are you strong in your worship? Are you strong in your perception of God? Are you strong in unity? Are you strong in praise, strong in worship? Wherever you are weak in an area, there is some level of ministry that is supposed to impart to you a new understanding, a new revelation, a fresh example so that you can become strong. Weak ministry is the result of weak leadership. Weak lives are the result of weak examples. We cannot become what we do not see. We will only be transformed into what we behold. So Jesus made it clear that the way in which he was to distribute to the church and demonstrate to a generation his nature was to divide his very essence into five parts, which is what we call fivefold. When you look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians makes it clear to us that God has given gifts to the saints. What gifts did he give to the body? He gives gifts to the saints and gifts to the body. So let's think about this. In the book of Corinthians, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, these are gifts given to the church. Right? To the people of God, to anyone who will access the power of God of the nine gifts of the Spirit, God says any one of you can access, manifest, move in, and demonstrate any one of these nine. However, so that the entire body may become mature, I have to give you five. So nine is to manifest the power. Five is to manifest the Christ. So the five gifts that Jesus gave are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I know I keep saying this and stressing on this, but I am trying to drive a nail all the way home so that we can hang a picture on it. We so often focus on the gifts of the Spirit that we forget about the gifts of Christ. The Holy Spirit gave us the gifts so that we might manifest the power of Jesus and display the victory of the cross. Jesus gave us gifts in the fivefold nature of leadership to the body of Christ so that we might demonstrate maturity, fullness, and unity, so that the body as a whole might look like him. As surely as you look like him individually, we must look like him corporately. So the beauty of Christ is seen in his body. You cannot see the beauty of Christ in the body if you do not recognize and honor fivefold ministry. I know so many times people are still arguing about this. It's okay for you to argue about it as long as you know at the end of your argument you are wrong. It's okay for you to have questions as long as you understand that your questions have no validation outside of the truth of Scripture. Scripture does not validate nor vindicate the idea of cessationism. So for many people, they teach that the five gifts of the Spirit, fivefold ministry, as well as the nine gifts of the Spirit, somehow cease to be with the early church. They teach and allude, and some even make it their basis for standing theologically, that the gifts of the Spirit no longer exist in full power and in full measure, and that fivefold ministry is not necessary, that all we have now are pastors and teachers and, when necessary, evangelists. That is not validated by the text. The Bible makes it clear to us that Jesus gave to us fivefold ministry. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. You're allowed to be wrong. I don't know if I like that. God doesn't care what you like. I don't know if I'm going to stand behind that. Don't stand behind it. Stand in front of it, because you will get run over. The truth is the truth, whether you agree with it or not. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to get some reaction out of you. I'm saying it as strong as I can, because unless you recognize that God had a plan in mind for the maturing of the church, we will stay immature forever. Because that which he thought necessary for our maturity, we have deemed unnecessary for our lives. So the Bible says, Jesus gave these gifts to the church. And he would raise up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Apprehending the apostolic In these first few sessions, I just want to talk about understanding of the fivefold, and then we're going to go into the depths of what an apostle is, what the apostolic is, how it's supposed to function. We're going to talk about the parameters of a prophet, the power of a prophet, and the presence of a prophet. We're going to go into the life of an evangelist, the effectiveness of an evangelist, and the essence of an evangelist. We're going to talk about the practice of a pastor, the shepherds and their flock, and seeing from another realm. And we're going to talk about the teacher. All of this is necessary, but you have to first begin by first saying, perhaps God knew something I didn't know. I have seen very few arguments as deeply held and as constantly valued as the argument people make for or against fivefold or for the gifts of the Spirit. The first thing I want to address is the idea that it stopped. Nowhere in Scripture does the idea of the gifts of the Spirit cease. He does not say this in the Bible. You will find no scripture where God says these gifts will cease, except when he says in heaven, some gifts may cease, but love would endure forever. We have to understand that we are not in heaven yet. Now, if your mindset for cessationism is built on the idea that after the first 12 apostles, these things ceased, then you have to now go through history and say that anyone, however much you like them or dislike them, that moved in the things of God, you have to then denounce them and denote them to be diabolical and devilish. Unless you are willing to do that, then hold thy tongue. I know I said that like old King James, but it was necessary to get your attention. You cannot pick your favorite heroes and say, oh, I understand that maybe when it was with Marie Woodworth Edder, or perhaps when it was with Smith Wigglesworth, or maybe it was my grandmother that God answered and gave a miracle to. You cannot pick out of time and history someone you will assign gifts of the Spirit to and make them to be someone who God simply chose from heaven and decided that for the rest of humanity and the rest of time, these gifts would be unnecessary and not permitted. That is not acceptable, for God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the gifts were good for them, the gifts are good for us. Secondly, you cannot then decide that because you have seen some people mishandle the office or the title of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher, that you can then nullify, disengage, and throw away all knowledge or reference to those offices through history. That is foolishness. That's like saying because you went to a bad dentist once, you will never go to a dentist again. Then you will be sitting around with a mouth full of rotten teeth and a head full of pain. I'll never go to a doctor again because some doctor mishandled my mother or grandmother. Then you will die with that lump in your breast and that pain in your side. I will never go to another lawyer again because I know a lawyer who charged too much money and he didn't handle my case correctly. Then you will not have a will. Your child will spend their life in prison, or you will lose everything because you have chosen to ignore people who are called with skill simply because someone else mismanaged their position. You do not throw away the office because of mismanagement. You do not throw away the title because of misconduct. You simply recognize that a few out of many walked the wrong way. What God decided is still good. What God chose is still valuable. What God said lives forever. So let's go back. The gifts did not end with the upper room, because the Holy Spirit has still been moving in the earth today. Everywhere that you can see that God is moving, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is still moving in the earth, he still has gifts to give. If the gifts of the Holy Spirit can still be given, that means people can still receive them. If there is anyone alive on the planet that has received access, power, or permission from the Holy Spirit, that means that anyone else who asks in Jesus' name can also receive, for God is no respecter of persons. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is still present. His gifts are still valuable. They are still real, and you can still access them. If the Holy Spirit can still move in his gifts, his power, and his signs, that then means that Jesus still has given gifts unto men, and he did not take them back, because the gifts that the Holy Spirit displays are to validate the power of Christ in the earth. Therefore, what Jesus gave to us in those five offices is still present, still powerful, and still real. If you simply take the time to logically and without bias look at truth and extrapolate truth from the place that you have received it in the Word, you will see that most of the things we have believed as being negative forces or unable to operate or truths that have ceased, the Bible itself will prove to you that it is still present. So if Jesus is still here, saving, if the Holy Ghost is still here, empowering, if the Father is still speaking and bringing life, then we must understand that Jesus gave to the church these gifts. So I'm going to ask you a question. As a dear friend of mine, a man of God who I value so much, he would often say, if God is giving gifts, why don't you want them? If God is giving power, why won't you receive? If God is doing something good, why won't you participate? God is still moving in the order and the power in which he said. So now let's go back one more time. Understanding, apprehending, manifesting this fivefold nature, the nature of God in Christ, the power he was given, was released in fivefold nature for the effect of maturing the church, for the effect of bringing us into fullness and into maturity, and for the effect of unifying us. We cannot have unity without the fivefold model. We cannot have power without the fivefold model, and we will never be mature without the fivefold model. Now, let me clarify one last thing as we get ready to end this first session. For some of you hearing this, it may have been a little struggle in your mind, so let me clarify something. Any idea, option, teaching, or revelation you've received through the years that somehow has made fivefold a hierarchy, that was unbiblical, erroneous, and bad doctrine. There's not hierarchy in the fivefold. It does not make you better than another believer. It does not set you above other saints. It simply gives you another measure of responsibility. The measure of responsibility you have been given requires a measure of power to back it up. So I want you to think of it as this. The fivefold calling that God has given to some is not so that they could be lords in his house, masters above his people, so that they could be controllers of the destiny of men. No, it is so that they could be better servants, so that they could lay down their lives in greater measure. And so God gave a grace from himself to men so that he could help them outlast their troubles, outlive their enemies, and outmaneuver the fears of men, so that they could stand against the tide of generations, so that they could speak with power from another dimension, pray with power that brings into manifestation the will of God, and walk with glory that could not be stopped. God did not give you the ability to be greater than your brother. He gave you the ability to be servant to all. So if you know that God has given you a fivefold grace, understand this. If your first revelation about that grace is not servanthood, if your first revelation is not going low, if your first revelation is not, he has anointed me so that I might serve others and die to myself, then you do not understand what you have received. So I charge you, go back to the master and ask him one more time, how shall I serve you, O King? How shall I serve your people? You have put oil upon my head that I might bow before you. You have put oil upon my hands that I might build what you say build. And you have put oil upon my feet that I might go where others would not go. You did not put oil upon me to rule your people, but to rescue them. You did not put oil on me to hold them hostage, but to help them grow. And you did not put oil upon me to divide the sheep, but to designate a safe place with high grass and peaceful waters. This is what I charge you first in this first lesson and first session. I charge you, if you are called to fivefold, think again about your calling and go low. If you are not called to that place, stop fighting for a title when it's an opportunity to serve. Stop yelling for a microphone when you should simply be helping others fulfill what God has called each one of us to do. And in doing so, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. And last of all, simply obey. Whatever the Father has asked of you to do, it is enough. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord calls his face to shine upon you. Join us for the next session that's coming up, because we're going to dig into what is that fivefold grace and where did it come from? Be blessed in Jesus' name.
This has been Prophetic Edge with Michael Dalton. If this episode has blessed you, please consider sharing it with someone. For more information, ministry dates, and to sow into the ministry, please visit yes-ministries.com.